again, and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where, as always, the focus is on connecting business with grassroots sports, both here in the UK and indeed throughout the world. It is my joy and absolute pleasure now to welcome to this podcast Peter Faulkner, who is both a Koi Sports member and also the director and founder of FK Pro. Peter, welcome. How are you?
Thanks, Tony. Nice to speak to you.
Absolute pleasure. I'm really excited to learn about the FK Pro. I know it's been endorsed and utilized by the great and the good of British sport. But I always like to just get to know a little bit about the people I'm speaking to first. So can you just give me a little bit about your background and what led you to, I guess, create or found FK Pro?
Yes. Basically, I've been in the fitness industry now for about 25 years. Done every job going. From gym bod all the way up to working in professional sport. I was one of the fitness consultants at Bristol Academy of Sport, where we had about 400 sports students. So almost most of the coaches were going Olympic lifting mad. But you can imagine the problems that would bring. 16 to 19 year olds lifting heavy weights with just two people to correct their technique. So started looking at what the gymnasts were doing. Functionally, some of the strongest athletes in the world for me. And they were doing mainly bodyweight training. They were doing some weightlifting alongside it, but primarily it was bodyweight. Stacked a cable machine.
Yep.
Started working off of the strap, off of the cables, and it just worked. It was just instant. Started playing around with some ropes and ended up with the straps and went from there, really.
I guess the beauty of it is that you can literally use it anywhere, can't you, in your own home? It's very kind of versatile in that regard.
Yeah, it's really versatile. I mean, been lucky enough to have got it used by British, European, world, Olympic champions. So from children just starting into sport, all the way up to people in their 80s. And it's meant to be, it was always functional inclusive training, was the F part of the FK Pro. So it was just to engage with everybody.
Yes. And that's so key, because there are so many people, I guess, that aren't necessarily inclined to be gym bodies, but maybe are aspiring just to improve their own fitness. I know, again, we're going to talk about the elite of the sporting world who use this. But again, it does have that kind of just openness to kind of core flexibility and well-being, I would suggest.
Completely. That's what we're focusing on right now, is we're looking to take it into schools. We have a problem at the moment where we have children at school suffering as bad a lower back problem as the adult population. That's just scary. But it can be easily rectified.
Yep.
It's just getting them moving how they should move. We've got them sitting for long periods at school.
Yep.
Then they come home and they're sitting again. So it's fully inclusive for everybody. We've had people in their 60s plus literally saying we've given their lives back.
Amazing.
So it's you get as much out of that as you do out of all the elite sport, to be honest.
I love that. And again, we're not meant to be sedentary. We're meant to be moving. We're meant to be, you know, working our core strength, et cetera, et cetera. And it just does it. It's easy to access. And I tell you, I'm excited to learn more, but it just feels appropriate, Peter. If people are listening and just curious to learn more about the FK Pro and the system and how it is so versatile, what's the best way to engage with you?
Either through social media, which is Team FK Pro, Facebook or Instagram and Twitter, or through the website, which is just fkpro.co.uk. And we're a British company. We're always there. We build relationships, not just business contacts. The reason that we're still working with most of the people we work with is because we've built a relationship with them. It's that important for us. I don't just want to sell a product and just leave them to it.
Indeed. I guess it's also that feedback, how you improve and you tweak, refine the product based on the needs and the successes of people using it. I am curious to know, though, as a fan of sport, mainly an armchair fan, I have to say, you know, it is the great and good of world sports that have utilized this, continue to utilize it. you know, the British Lions, Manchester United, English Institute of Sport. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, Peter. What an amazing catalogue of real elite athletes utilising the product. That must be incredibly rewarding and, I guess, inspires you to continue to refine and develop the product.
Yes, totally. I still have to pinch myself when I look back at the list, and it's one of those, yeah, pinching moments when you look at it and you look back. But it's been a great journey. Some very interesting visits to places like Twickenham and St George's Park with the FA, and up to the training grounds of a lot of these clubs. It's even up to the point of going to World Rugby over in Dublin.
Yes.
Which is another one that we're trying to promote at the moment through trying to prevent concussion in sport.
Yes.
So part of what design now is a standalone neck harness. It just uses the person's body weight. And again, it's safe to use for children, and it's challenging enough for a world champion.
Amazing.
So literally have world leading front rows using it.
Yes.
We've had it used at world championship boxing level.
Yes.
We've got world rally championship driver using it. And we've got kits with a couple of F1 teams that we're not allowed to mention, but we can just say that. But it's really important with what's going on with concussion in this,
yes,
in sport at the moment. Not just for the short term prevention and keeping them playing the sport they love to play.
Yes.
It's long term as well. We know that if you have a severe concussion or multiple concussions in your 20s,
yes,
you're nearly 70% more likely to suffer dementia in later life. Mm-hmm. So that risk reduction is really important to us, and that's what we're trying to get across and get out there right now. And it's nice to be recognised by World Rugby.
Yes.
That's working with them on their global education programme. It's getting back to the why, on why all this started. And working with elite sport was always great. Mm. It was always meant to be cherry on the cake, on top, yes, of the cake. But it ends up becoming the cake. And it's getting back to making that difference is what it's all about.
And it is such a crucial message, isn't it? It's, and again, flexibility will improve all manner of life, your well-being, your sense of self, however you are, whether you're an elite athlete or just somebody who just wants to make an improvement in their life, FK Pro will offer something for you. You know, I look at Tom Brady, for instance, the quarterback, into his 40s, putting up great numbers and just doing crazy good things. Nadal coming back from injury and obviously becoming a champ again, the quote-unquote winningest tennis player of all time. Again, the leaps and bounds made and changes in sports science. I remember once upon a time when you were sort of into your, let's say, 28, 29, you're almost a dinosaur. It definitely seems that these kind of core skills, maybe harnessing things like yoga and Pilates, but basically embracing the core and flexibility, is really changing the lifespan of an athlete in our modern world.
Definitely. People are now training smarter, but still harder. Whereas before, it was all about training as hard as possible, and people were getting broke. Whereas now we have that knowledge to be able to protect players into longer careers. And that's what we've got to make sure that we don't just look after them while they're in their career.
Yes.
It's about their retirement as well. They need to be able to go out and enjoy it and go out and play their sport with their children and just enjoy that, all the fruits of their labour, really.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you're going to continue that. And I love the message already made in this about the importance of flexibility and kind of core within injury prevention, in particular being aware and conscious of the very thorny issue, which has become very pertinent to do with concussion. I think that's very, very important. And what's also very important, just changing topic slightly, is the fact that you're an elite Koi Sport member, Peter. Always curious to learn. How did you get involved with Koi Sports?
It's been a while now. Look back on how this came together. I came across it, I think it was Oh, it was Lee Probert. yeah, it's just come back to me. did some work with Lee Probert a long time ago. My ex-business partner is really good friends with Lee, trained him while he was actually still working as a referee. And I saw a post from Lee, and it just looked the perfect fit. It was a great network that was affordable for all businesses, not just massive businesses. And it was that giving back to the grassroots, which is what it should always be about. That's what we're looking for. Yes. Within everything we do. That's our future sports, which is the way we look at it. So seeing something like this, it was just the perfect fit for us.
And we all salute you, Peter. We really appreciate all our great members and everything that they do. Really are putting their ethos and aligning it with that grassroots sports, which breathes life into so many, builds communities, and ultimately will filter up to that elite level as well. You're obviously looking after supporting the amazing Lutley's Sports Centre, I think Bristol-based. Was that kind of connection that you mentioned in your past, Bristol, was that one of the things that informed your decision to work closely with Lutley's Centre?
Yeah, I met a guy and went over there and went through it all. And it was just just a brilliant setup. All the local community, they put on some five-a-side tournaments, and they were having people like PSG there. This was a local community sports centre, but they had some of the biggest names in Europe, the children's academies coming across. It was really good to sort of see and get involved in.
Yep. And I tell you what, I know that they really valued your support. It has been a challenging time for all of us during the pandemic, but it has really ravaged and deeply impacted on a lot of grassroots sports institutes. I know the team there, Guy Hollis, and all at Lutley Sports Centre are massively grateful for your support. It really is valued. But moving back now to FK Pro, we've talked about its evolution. We've touched on its now involved with, like I say, such a litany of world-class sporting institutions. Peter, what is next? What's the next kind of goal, aspiration, your side from FK Pro?
We're literally going backwards to go forwards almost. Basically, what we're looking to do is put these into as many schools as possible. So we're hoping to have a couple of pilot schemes launched over the next few months. So we can effectively put 20 kits into a sports hall that gives them a fully functional gym with over 400 exercises.
Amazing.
And that way we can stop the bad postures, we can stop the bad back problems, and we can get those children that don't feel comfortable in their bodies just moving faster and how they should. And it's brilliant to see when you see them then start to enjoy sports more because they can just move better. So that's one of the big plans. And the neck training is the other one. We want all the research that's coming out. There was a massive research paper done in America on female football. It was on football, soccer, as they like to call it. Had 80,000 students. They found that female players had twice as much chance of having a concussion than the male players.
Really?
FIFA are looking to increase the female participation to 60 million players by 2026. That's going to bring its own problems if we don't start sorting that out now. So trying to get into the right people at the moment, trying to get to the people in the organisations that can make that difference. But that can be challenging at the best of times.
As always, the best challenges always lead to the best rewards, Peter. I think you're on a mission, and I think you're already doing sterling work. Remind me and everybody listening about where we can learn all about FK Pro.
So Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook are all under at Team FK Pro, and the website is fkpro.co.uk.
Perfect. Fire those at me one more time.
The Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook are all under at Team FK Pro, and the website is just fkpro.co.uk. We also have a YouTube channel, which is, again, under Team FK Pro.
Beautiful. Lots of stuff there. It's incredibly educational. Peter, you are on a mission. You've already done tremendous work, and I know you're going to continue doing great, great things. For me, it's been a joy to chat with you. Is there anything in closing you'd like to crystallize or just cement in our minds at all before we say goodbye?
Just if anybody has any contacts with local schools, this is not an expensive gym to put in. It's basically £2,500 for a 20 station gym. That would cost you, that's the cost of one piece of gym equipment normally.
Gotcha.
It's alongside that, we train them up.
Yes. And
we also want to include in that a community engagement program. So the PE students, what we want to do is train them up to be able to run a strength under balance course for the elderly in the local community. So they get hands-on teaching education, and the local community get a really safe training modality to help them. It's to help prevent against falls in the elderly.
Yes.
Which is where we get so many problems going forwards.
Peter, I just am wowed by that. Helping lots of different people in so many, many different ways. It's so innovative, so simple piece of kit. But as you say, it just fits in and is incredibly cost effective. And the proof is in the pudding and the amount of amazing athletes who continue to use your product. It's been a joy to speak with you, Peter. Truly, it has. I'd just like to say a big, big thank you from us all at Koi Sports. And I'd like to wish you all the best at Team FK Pro. Thank you once again.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. And same to everybody at Koi Sports.
We've just heard there from Peter Faulkner, director, co-founder of the amazing FK Pro. And as well as that, of course, he is one of our wonderful elite members here for Koi Sports. His membership, as I'm sure you will remember from that conversation, was going to benefit the amazing team at Lockleys Sports Centre based in Bristol. Just before Christmas, I caught up with Guy Hollis from Lockleys Sports Centre. Welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast with your host, Tony Rice. Here, as always, the focus is on how we are uniting businesses with vital grassroots sports projects. Earlier on, we've heard from Peter Faulkner, a new member here at Koi Sports, and he is helping with support for the team at Lockleys Sports Centre. Tell us how about that support is going to benefit them. We are joined now by Guy Hollis. Guy, good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, Tony. Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Doing very well, thank you, kind. And I tell you what, and why not? It's just around the corner. Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Yeah, it's creeping up.
Good stuff. Anyway, look, Guy, again, Peter's awesome support there. We're very grateful for all our members and the great work they do to benefit local sports societies and institutions like yourselves. Give us an insight. Tell us about Lockleys Sports Centre.
Yeah, okay. So Lockleys Sports Centre is a relatively new, well, we've formed in 2017, sports and events complex. So it's a not-for-profit organisation. So the idea is that any surplus we generate is put back into the community, whether it's directly through funding programmes or allowing us to subsidise programmes for members of North Bristol, really, and Lockleys specifically as well. It came about from essentially Bristol Combination Rugby, who are the governing body for all the rugby clubs in Bristol. They've got about 55 clubs within their sort of umbrella. They own the land, and it was originally used by a couple of local clubs. A big open grass space with a sort of tin clubhouse in there, with which Bishopston and Ashley Down used. So there's a lot of history there, and it was a real kind of hub for the community. But there's scope. What happened was that Bristol District Combination sold the land to housing developers, a certain proportion of it, which therefore generated a large chunk of income, which effectively paid for the sports centre, which now homes Ashley Down and Bishopston. So they've got artificial pitches and modern clubhouse and everything else. So they've been looked after, but it also meant that an organisation could be set up. So a trust, which was Lockleat Sports Centre Trust, which runs the facility and, as I said, looks after the rugby clubs who played there, but also tries to do so much more within the community.
I mean, it just sounds like the ideal project here. As you know, Koi Sports, we are all about providing extra additional support, financial and publicity for these sports institutes that are just at the heart of communities. And it does sound to me there that you very much are at the hub of that kind of Bristol, North Bristol kind of community world, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have to run the business as a profit-making organisation in the sense that, you know, to survive, we need to be fairly commercially minded. But yeah, absolutely, that's what we're trying to do. We do a lot of, well, we may touch on it later, but a lot of sessions for all the different underrepresented minorities within the area. But we also, aside from sport, we've got organisations like the National Food Service are based at Lockleat, and they use our kitchens and our infrastructure. They delivered throughout lockdown and the period after lockdown about 50,000 free meals to the local community. That wouldn't have been possible without Lockleat Sports Centre. So yeah, we're very much about the community and the sports side and the social side and just trying to improve the lives of the people within the area, really.
Perfect. And you mentioned there the lockdown, and we'll see how things are progressing in our bigger context. But obviously, you mentioned they're beginning in 2017, right almost at the in the run into what we're going to know as the COVID era, I suppose. Just give me a sense of some of the challenges that you and the team there have had to overcome doing this great, important, community-driven work at such a challenging period.
The centre, to give you some kind of perspective, a £7 million project, so three actually was a smaller one, four grass pitches, eight large changing rooms, a big terrace area, three large function rooms with two bars. I'm not showing off, but I'm just trying to give you a scope of the overheads that you'd have, you know, relating to a setup like that. So, you know, even from the most simplest things, all the grass needs to be maintained, otherwise it would turn into a jungle. You've got, you know, the base amount of utility costs, which are not going anywhere, and insurance, which is still required because, you know, you're still vulnerable, if not more vulnerable than normal. So the first element was that financial challenge. You know, how do we manage those overheads with little to no income throughout the whole, you know, however long lockdown was in its entirety. So that was a massive challenge in itself. And then with that came, obviously staff costs as well, you know, that before the furlough and after the furlough scheme, there were periods where we had to support staff. So that's a challenge from that perspective. From a kind of physical perspective, the security of the building was quite tricky because you had, although obviously lockdown, technically speaking, people were only allowed to leave the houses for certain periods to exercise and what have you. I mean, you know, we're in an area of quite severe deprivation, so there's not that much of the rules following going on that you might find in some areas. So, and actually, a lot of the issues was there was a lot of young kids around or teenagers that had nothing to do. So they could see this amazing facility and they just thought, understandably, their eyes lit up. They thought, quite fancy a bit of that. And so there was a lot of people kind of breaking into the facility. I use that kind of loosely speaking because I really do believe it, as much as it was a pain and there was elements of it that were dangerous and you know, we had to, you know, up our security measures to try and counteract that. It became a big problem because obviously word gets out as well. You can imagine if these kids find an amazing pitch, get on social media, oh, you can get into this place. And so, yeah, that was a massive challenge. And it was, from our perspective, I think it'd be very easy to take a hard line and just say, right, you're not coming in. This isn't your facility. You might damage it. You might hurt yourself, climb over the fences, and kind of us against them mentality. But I think apart from the fact that wouldn't be very productive, it kind of flies in the face of what our ethos is anyway. So we tried to kind of meet them in the middle within the laws of the government have set out and make it possible for them to use the facility in a safe way. So that was certainly a challenge. And then, yeah, I think for us, it was just being flexible and adapting to all the sort of constantly changing government restrictions and making sure that we were able to open in a safe way and were able to adapt to make sure we'd adhere to all the restrictions, which actually took quite a lot of research and a lot of, constant research really to make sure that we were doing the right thing. So, yeah, there was a lot of challenges. I think the staff did a really good job of making sure that we did our bit and we came out the other side in one piece.
The trendy word's pivot, but it's really been impressive to me to just get an insight into the challenges that were inevitable, but just how resilient we can be and how we are very actually adaptable and capable of overcoming these challenges. And Guy, I think you've given a really, once again, prime illustration of those very important human qualities. So moving forwards now, again, awesome to have Peter Faulkner's support here. How exactly will Lockleys benefit from how Peter's chosen to focus in his membership support for Lockleys Sports Centre?
Yeah, so we're going to use the funding for a direct project. So that's, I think, without kind of stating the obvious, I think that's the most impact we can have. If we, you know, identify a specific area which requires support, so it might be that, you know, again, touching upon the young people that are kind of have potentially a bit of a loose end and could be up to, you know, unproductive activity, should we say. It might be that we put on a specific session for them on a Friday night, for example, that allows them to come in and, do something productive, carry out some exercise, let off a bit of steam and do so in a kind of controlled environment, which is, you know, with a coach provided, for example. So we haven't specifically decided where we'd allocate those funds, but it would be something like that rather than, you know, something that goes into sort of a general pot of the maintenance of the sites, for example.
I like getting the kind of real focus there on a very important aspect. And again, it seems to me that something like that is very much in line with the overall ethos there that Lockleys are all about. So, you know, good luck with that. Guy, I'm really interested here. Obviously, I think that you guys are doing tremendous things in these challenging times, and I think you'll continue to do that. Can you just give me a little bit of a background into yourself and how you got involved?
My position now is the executive director. So I meet monthly or quarterly. They're very much non-exec and they come from a range of backgrounds. So their input is completely invaluable. But I'm probably could best describe as the link between those two boards and the operations team. So we have a general manager who's kind of right in the nitty gritty running the centre day to day. And I'm more kind of helping with the strategy, supporting her with some of the bigger contracts and the bigger decisions. It might be that we've got a lot of tenants, for example, UWE University and Bristol Rovers Academy Community Trust, and there's some quite complex and very helpful contracts that we have with those guys. So I get involved with those kind of things. And also, just checking in with the team and making sure that everyone's kind of knows exactly what the vision of what we're doing is and keep everyone on course with that, really, as well as the kind of business development element. So I've introduced National Food Service to the centre and kind of managed that relationship. My background... So I think the easiest way to describe it is when I was a lot younger, I was very sporty, you know, absolutely obsessed. It was my life, really. And I, you know, played every kind of sport you can imagine. And when I went to university, I kind of fell out of love with it, and mainly because I fell in love with other activities that probably weren't as productive, you know, as you do. So I definitely felt that through that period of university, I kind of lost my way a bit in terms of my physical health and my mental health. Like, I came out the other side definitely with a sort of less of a kind of lust for life, as it were, and just generally a bit kind of sluggish, and I felt like I lost a bit of my kind of identity, I suppose. So I went on a bit of a personal crusade to sort that out, and really kind of got back into sport and fitness, and so much so that I actually went into personal training as I did a sports science degree, so it was kind of a natural follow-on, really. I went into personal training and the fitness industry, and really, I suppose, everything that I do with regards to Locklease stems from the fact that I really believe that physical activity and socializing as well is absolutely crucial to your mental health. And I think if you can get those things aligned and you can have good, strong mental health, it's a platform to achieve anything in your life, whether it be positive relationships, you know, do well in your career, whatever it may be. I think that's crucial. So yeah, that's kind of how I ended up being involved in Locklease, and how it kind of struck a chord with me personally.
Absolutely awesome. And again, I will say credit to you. A lot of people, as you say, go through these periods of funk, of malaise, and never come out the other side. So again, I really value that journey, and also the fact that you made a brilliant point there about the interconnection between our physical well-being and how it plays out with our whole 360 of our human bearing. And I think it is the foundation. And I'm sure many people will be able to build great, positive physical foundations working with you guys there at Locklease Sports Centre. Guy, where can we go for more information? What's the best websites, et cetera, to engage with Locklease?
Yeah, so we're quite active on social media. So it's Facebook or Instagram are the two main ones. And God, this is a test. I think Instagram is at Locklease_sports_centre. Facebook, I don't know, but if you type in Locklease Sports Centre, you'll certainly see it. Our website, which probably isn't as regularly updated, but can give you a good overview of what we're doing, is www.lockleasesportscentre.co.uk. If anyone wants to discuss anything, or we can help in any way, you can always email myself, and it's gHollis, which is HOLLIS, at LockleaseSportsCentre.co.uk.
Perfect. Sounds to me that maybe the most efficient means to engage with you will be through the social media way. Just hit us up with that Instagram handle again, please.
Yeah, so it's at Locklease_sports_centre.
Perfect. Guy, awesome to talk with you. We're delighted that we're able to offer you a little bit of support, and it's really fascinating to hear that that will be channeled in a very focused manner going forwards. Is there anything else in closing that you'd like to address, crystallise, or just bring to our attention at all?
No, not particularly. I just want to say thanks for having me on, and I really admire what you guys are doing, and I wish you all the success, because, you know, there's the communities need groups like this, and yeah, you're doing great work. So thank you.
I massively appreciate that. It's really great to talk with you. I think you guys will continue to do awesome supportive work to really genuinely benefit the communities that you are engaged with. Thank you once again for your time just now.
Okay, cheers, Tony. Thanks.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.